The presence of the Lord. the reality of life circumstances at times that weigh us down and make us feel as if we just can't lift them up. We just can't go on. We just can't praise the Lord. We just can't honor Him in this situation. Maybe you're saying, I can't raise my hands today because I'm too weary. I'm going through something that's too difficult. I'm not denying the difficulty, and I understand it may be hard for you today. I've been there. I know what you're feeling and what you're going through. There's been times that it's just been so heavy. It just feels like, how in the world can I do this? But somehow, in some way, the Spirit of God begins to move in me, and the faith of God begins to rise, and I just lift up my hand and give Him praise in the midst of my circumstances, in the midst of my pain, in the midst of my worry, in the midst of my questions, in the midst of not understanding what's going on. There's something that happens when you just start lifting up those hands. Lift them up with me. Something changes in your spirit. Something changes in your mindset. Something changes in your perspective, because God is moving when you lift up those hands. Lift up those hands which hang down today. He inhabits the praises of His people. He lives in those praises. I had never really seen this before, but when you go back to the Old Testament tabernacle, if you'd like to turn there with me just for a moment, and this is something that I believe is relevant to the body of Christ, is relevant for our lives. In Exodus 25, in verse 18, he said, make two cherubim of gold, of hammered work you shall make them at the two ends of the mercy seat. Make one cherub at one end and the other cherub at the other end. You shall make the cherub at the two ends of it on one piece with the mercy seat. And the cherubim shall stretch out their wings above, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and they shall face one another. The faces of the cherubim shall be toward the mercy seat. Can you picture this here with me? You've got those two gold cherubim that are facing one another, and the mercy seat is right there in the middle, in the most holy place. Could it be that when we lift up our hands to the Lord, anybody see what I'm saying? Could it be that God comes to meet us right there when we choose to lift up those hands that may be representing the cherubim? God said, I have come to meet you there. In verse 22, it said, and there I will meet you, and I will speak to you from above the mercy seat. Could it be when we choose to lift up those hands, God comes right there? He says, I will meet you there. I will meet you there, and my mercy will be poured out upon your life, regardless of what you're going through, regardless of what the enemy is doing, regardless of the lies that he's bringing up into your ears. Lift up your hands today. And he said, I will meet you there. Hallelujah. God inhabits the praises of His people. He lives in those praises. He said, lift up your hands which hang down. Don't just lift them up when everything's going well. Lift up those hands when things look dreary, when it looks dismal. On the rainy days, you know, we've had a lot of rainy days here lately. I don't know about you, but it affects my mood. I just get tired of it sometimes. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
It's dark and it's dismal, and it kind of affects our mood. I mean, sunshine really does affect us physiologically. And so when we're going through those rainy seasons, literal and spiritual, you've got to be intentional to let the Son of God shine into your heart and shine into your mind, into your spirit, and give you a perspective upon life. It's not as dreary as it may seem. We can maybe endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Lift up those hands and receive the mercy of God. Lift up your hands and thank Him, not for what you're going through. I don't thank God when I'm sick, but I thank Him for healing me. I thank Him for making me better. I don't thank God that I'm discouraged. You ever been discouraged? But I do thank God for lifting me out of that discouragement. Hallelujah. You don't thank God when you don't have a job, but you can thank Him for giving you you a good job and making a way where there seems to be no way and coming through for you. You don't thank God if your kids are not serving the Lord, but you can thank God for moving in their hearts and bringing about redemption and healing in their life in the name of Jesus. He's able to turn things around. You thank Him. You lift up those hands which hang down and praise Him in everything. Give thanks in everything. Give thanks. I'm not thanking God for everything that happens, but in it and through it, I am praising Him because He knows what He is doing. Lift up those hands which hang down this morning. Hallelujah. If I'm going to lift my hands in spite of the circumstances, several things have to happen. I'm going to move on quickly this morning. Chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews gives us admonishment to remember the victorious. If I'm going to lift my hands which hang down, I've got to remember the victorious, the heroes of faith that are listed in chapter 11. The writer of Hebrews lists a number of heroes and a number of unnamed heroes of faith. People who have gone through things that were so difficult, it would be hard for us to even imagine us going through that today. Matter of fact, verse 3 says, you have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, in your fight against the powers of darkness, in your fight against Satan, in your fight against sin. Has there been anybody here that's had to shed blood because of that? We're getting off easy.
That's right.
Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Compared to what our forefathers and those who have gone before us, the heroes of faith, all of these people were normal people. Not a perfect person in the bunch that you read about in Hebrews chapter 11. All of them had frailty and all of them had failures. Abraham, he asked his wife to lie twice because he was afraid. Does that sound like a man of God to you? But yet it's still, they were in the Hero Hall of Faith chapter. Read it for yourself. Right there in Hebrews chapter 11. Moses got mad at an Egyptian man for mistreating one of his fellow Hebrews. So he killed him, hid him in the sand, and ran for his life in a desert for 40 years. Well, we know what happened to David. David committed adultery and then murder. Gideon, God wants to use him as a mighty general, but what is he doing? The Bible says that he's hiding from the Midianites. He's afraid. Over and over, all the men and women of faith listed in Hebrews chapter 11 had frailty. They had failed. They had sinned. Because they were men and women just like you and me. But they were not, listen, if you don't get anything else in this message, I want you to receive this today. But they were not defined by their failures. They were defined by their faithfulness. Faithfulness to what? Faithfulness to persevere. Faithfulness to never give up on God and their purpose and their calling. Their faithfulness to get up off the ground and be cleansed and be washed and be purified and be renewed and be revived. Faithfulness to get up off the ground and move on and move on. I said move on in the name of God. Faithfulness. I'm so glad our lives are not defined by our mistakes, our sins, and our failures, but our lives are defined by faithfulness to Him, and most of all, His faithfulness to us. Anybody thankful that God is faithful to you? Amen. We'll give you praise for that right now. Aren't you thankful? Like David declared in Psalm 103, he said, He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. I'm thankful today I'm not defined by my past. You're not defined by your past, but you're defined by the righteousness of Jesus that he's clothed you in his precious blood that has washed you and cleansed you and continues to wash and continues to sanctify and make you more like him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. We got to remember the victorious. We're seeking to lift up our hands which hang down. We're seeking to get through the circumstances of life. As we're seeking to not get bogged down when things happen, because we know in this world there's tribulation. We know in this life there's problems and there's opposition and there's hurdles that we have to get over all the time. There's discouragement that we got to fight against. There's sickness that we got to go through. He said, if you're going to lift up your hands in the midst of that, you've got to remember those who've gone before you. You've got to remember those who've already paved the way. You've got to remember that they got there. They got through it. In spite of all the difficulty they went through, they got through it. We're going to get through it. Remember those in the Bible, but also remember those in your own life. Remember the heroes of faith. Remember, it could be your parents, it could be a friend, it could be a pastor or an evangelist or a school teacher or a mentor, a person from a support group. Remember those that God has placed in your own life that encourage you, that exhort you, that reminds you that you've come too far to turn back now. You've got to keep putting one foot in front of the other and pressing on. In chapter 12, if we're going to lift up our hands, instead of letting them hang down in defeat and discouragement, he said, we're going to have to lay aside every weight. Right? Since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, aren't you thankful that we've got those who've gone on before us that are looking down on us today? They're urging us on. It's like they're sitting in the side of in the bleachers, and they're just rooting us and cheering us on as we're in this race. In this race. And he said, if you're going to run this race, you've got to lay aside the weight. How do you know that you can't run? Any runners in the house or people that used to run? Yeah.
You're in the run.
I'm kind of in both categories. Sometimes I run and sometimes I don't. You can't run with a lot of baggage on. You want to be as light as possible. Now, when I was playing baseball in high school, we would put on weights intentionally to try to run with those weights to build up more muscle, to build up more endurance. But if you're going a long ways, how many of you know that the Christian life is not to be a sprint, it's to be a marathon? And if you're going to make it to the end of this journey, you've got to take off every weight that is weighing you down, that is keeping you from running freely in this life. That's problematic, that causes issues, that causes problems. And then he separates it by saying, and the sin which so easily entangles you. So some of these weights are not necessarily sinful, but they're not wise. They're not things that you need to have in your life. But there's other things that are just definitely, without a doubt, sinful. You've got to set them aside. You've got to get rid of the sin in your life. You've got to pursue holiness. You've got to pursue Jesus with your whole heart. You've got to forsake the world and all that it offers you, because it will not promise you. To lay aside the sin was so easily ensnared you. How do you know that everybody's different, and you know what the sin is that so easily entangles you. The sin which so easily entangles you may not be the sin that so easily entangles someone else. But the point is, we're all weak in and of ourselves. We're all frail. We all have failures. But thanks be to God, we got the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us the strength to go on and live for him and walk with him, to lay aside those weights and run. Run. But how are we going to do that? What's our focal point? Verse number 2, look at it. Fixing your eyes upon Jesus. Fixing your eyes upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. You're going to be able to lift up those hands. You've got to keep your eyes on Jesus. See, it's not just a physical thing of lifting your hands. I'm talking spiritually too. Lifting up your spirit, lifting up your perspective, lifting up purpose. You've got to fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. That's how, you know, I told him yesterday, I preached just a portion of this yesterday in the funeral service. That's how you know whether you're in the correct race or not. If your eyes are on Jesus, then you know you're in the right race. Because some people are in the right race. Right? But I want to be in the correct race. I want to be in the race that's pressing toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The race that has purpose. The race that has meaning. The race that is going toward that ultimate goal. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to being with the Lord forever and forever. That is the ultimate prize. Anybody looking forward to that day? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't you let anything in this world keep you from obtaining that prize. Press toward the goal. Press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And in the process, listen, you've got to not become weary or faint. Look at verses 3 and 4 for a moment. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. The tendency is to become weary. But how do you know? We've got to lift up our hands, which hang down. We've got to lift up one another's arms in the process. Bear one another's burdens. And so fulfill the law of Christ. Would you turn with me to Exodus chapter 17? And I'm trying to bring this to a close. I don't want to have plenty of time for prayer this morning. Exodus 17. Verse number 8. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. I'm going to tell you, there's something about lifting up those hands that brings victory in our lives. Hallelujah. Would you just lift them up for a moment? Just lift them up in victory. Lift up those hands. When Moses lifted up his hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. When he lifted up his hand, Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. You see, there's times that people of leadership, like myself, our hands get heavy. But there's also times when your hands get heavy and you've got to lift up one another. Hallelujah. You've got to lift up those hands because we get weighted down and bogged down with the circumstances of life. But isn't that what the body of Christ is supposed to be about? To encourage one another, to exhort one another. That's really why he tells us that we need to be in the house of God on a regular basis, not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together, as is the manner of some, but so much the more, say that with me, so much the more, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Does anybody here see that day approaching with me? You know that Jesus is coming again. He's coming back. All you got to do is look at the signs of the times and look at the world in which we live in today. We are getting so close to the coming of Jesus Christ, but we've got to make sure that we're lifting one another's arms up. We're exhorting one another. We're encouraging one another. We're saying, listen, you've got to stay in the fight. You got to keep on praying. You got to keep on seeking the face of God. You got to keep on lifting up those hands which hang down, because there's victory in the Lord. There's victory in the Lord. Hallelujah. Lift up those hands in victory. Lift up those hands. He said, the Lord will meet you there. He said, tell my people to lift up their hands, because I will bring victory in my life. That's where the victory is. Yeah. Victory. Lifting up your hands. Pastor Tommy Cummings. Psalm 134:2 says, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Psalm 28:2, hear the voice of my supplications. When I cry to you, when I lift up my hands toward your holy sanctuary. Psalm 119:48. I will lift up my hands to your commands, which I love. I will meditate on your decrees. Psalm 63:4, I love this one right here. This is one of my favorites. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. Will you practice that with me? I will praise you as long as I live, in your name, in the name of God. In the name of Jehovah God, in the name of Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides, in the name of Jehovah Shammah, the one who is there, in the name of Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals, in his name, I will lift up my hands and I will give him praise. Things are not so favorable for me in my life right now. I don't have a whole lot for my estimation to praise God for, but because of who he is, because of his faithfulness, because of his mercy, because he's brought me out of the darkness, because he saved my soul when I didn't feel like I was worth saving, I will lift up my hands to the Lord. I will give him a praise when it feels like I don't have it to pray him for. I will give him a dance. I will give him a dance in the sanctuary. I will not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I will be ashamed of what he's done for me. Lift up those hands. Lift them up. Some of you need to thank God for His forgiveness and His mercy in your life. He never gave up on you. He never gave up. He never will. He loves you so much. Hallelujah. Oh, give Him praise. Would you just meet me in this altar this morning with your hands lifted? As we did do it, just come with those hands lifted. Come with those hands lifted. Oh, yes. I lift my hands in the sanctuary. I lift my hands to give you the glory. I lift my hands to give you the praise. Hallelujah. I climb my hands in the sanctuary. I am not defeated. I will not be defeated. Hallelujah. I am the head and not the tail. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. I am victorious. Why? Because He says you're more than a conqueror. For Him who loved you again, good stuff for you. Why?